accession number 17327, reel 2.
I'm Pope Reel 2. You were just telling me about carriers to carry the dispatches in.
Yes, well, we used to have big satchels, I suppose, really, which we slung across our backs, bodies, and we mostly, I think, didn't have a lot of documents, so they went in that all right. If we had more, there were carriers on the back of the bike, and we could put things in there. But of course, we must never be parted from the things we were carrying because they were important. And we managed all right because we were doing it all the time and we knew we were important.
Did you ever lose any dispatches or mislay any dispatches?
No. But I remember one girl did because she was in the dockyard and riding along sort of almost at the edge and got her wheels stuck in the tramline things. And I don't know whether she went in the drink, but a lot of things did, and documents. So it had to be cleared up by somebody, transport officer, I suppose, I don't know.
You say you didn't have to carry a lot of documents, but what did the dispatches actually look like? Were they just a piece of paper, or did they look like a telegram, or what?
No, they were probably quite big pieces of paper, and we had to sign for them when we were given whatever it was. And then, of course, you got a signature at the other end when you delivered it to wherever. And I don't remember carrying a lot ever on the bike, but I think probably they were sent by car or some other way, not a motorbike.
So was the dispatch in a sealed envelope?
I really can't remember, but I really can't remember. But things were very different because there wasn't this feeling that they were going to be taken or something. I mean, who would take them? And I don't know that they were really big pieces. I mean, they were obviously urgent because they were being sent by dispatch. But
presumably you wouldn't be able to read them. Would they be sealed so that you couldn't read them?
I don't remember ever reading anything really exciting, but maybe they were sealed. But there wasn't time to do anything like that. I mean, you didn't stop on the way and read. I mean, our duty was to get to wherever it should be and get a signature for it. It was so different. I mean, there wasn't time for all this mucking about.
Were you told that you had to get there by a certain time, or were you just told to get there as fast as possible?
No, I don't think we were told anything. We were just told to go to wherever. We used to go to New Haven a lot, and on Dover a lot. And then, of course, things hotted up as it got near to the D-Day. But I And I don't remember anything about time, and we just knew we had to go as quickly as we could, and we did.
Were you armed?
No. Armed against who? I mean, this was England. I used to hope that I'd perhaps get aboard because I spoke some French, but I never did, of course. My French wasn't good enough.
But it was England at war. Presumably you could have run into an enemy agent.
Well, there was a lot of... there were a lot of people keeping enemy agents out. They just... I mean, I think they did come and they were dropped, weren't they? But there were obviously a lot of... Churchill was making sure that they didn't get anywhere or do anything.
I think you wrote in your memoirs that you could remember the Dieppe raid. Were you on duty at that time?
No, actually I wasn't. But I can't remember what I said in the book about the Dieppe raid, but...
I think possibly New Haven was one of the places from which the Canadians set off for the Dieppe raid.
Yep.
Or any memories that you have of D-Day? What were you doing on D-Day?
On D-Day? Me, I wasn't doing much. Because it was all so well planned and so
Did you realize that Fort Southwick was the headquarters for organizing D-Day?
Yes, we did. And how proud we were to be at where it was all happening. And, of course, Southwick House was the real, fairly secret place. Fort Southwick House being just behind, and where Eisenhower, Montgomery, they all used to meet and hatch up their plans and what good plans they were.
So Fort Southwick and Southwick House are two different places, are they?
Two different places. Fort Southwick is on the hill, one of, I can't remember, I think five forts, built in the 1800s to keep the French out. But Southwick House was just a lovely house, which was a fairly... high-powered place for the real heads of what was happening. We used to go there a lot. It was HMS Dryad, I think, and a lovely house. And there's a picture of it in my book, and it said, do buy the book.
So, how far apart was Fort Southwick from Southwick House?
Possibly 2 miles, possibly not.
And was Fort Southwick your base?
Yes.
But Southwick House was just a place you delivered dispatches to?
Southwick House was the real high-ups. And fairly... small compared to the fort, of course, the fort being very big. And a lot happening at Fort Southwick. And they, of course, they built these underground headquarters. It was at the top of Potsdam Hill, and a special tunnel excavated down into the chalk hill, and there were, I think I remember, 174 steps down, but we dispatchers seldom went down. The transport officer was up in the fort, and he used to arrange where we should go. And I mean, it was great that the fort was there, really. And there were other forts along, but Fort Sussex was picked as being the one most suitable for this excavation down into the hill. And it's quite a big hill, Potsdam Hill. And we hardly ever went down, but all the coders and people, they all worked down there all the time. And the tunnel down was steel-lined and made very safe for all this that was going on in the hill. I think 174 steps down, but I may be wrong, a steel-lined tunnel down. And a wonderful, wonderful place. How lucky that it was there for the war.
What were your working conditions like?
Well, I don't know about the people, the coders and people down in the tunnel. There were so many offices down there. And so they worked watches and lived in quarters down the hill a bit. And there was transport up and down. But we dispatch riders lived at Mount Cottage just along the road, and pretty high up, so we had a good view of everything that was happening. And we were so lucky. We lived at a proper house, because we were a bit different. We weren't working to time. I mean, we had to live at a special place of our own, because we were coming and going at all hours, really. And we were lucky. We had a great war. We really did. We had a wonderful time because we were out and about all the time. I remember seeing the first, or one of the first, doodlebugs, or whatever they were called, when I was going up to Uxbridge, which was a very Air Force place. And I remember being really puzzled by this coming over. But of course then they became quite normal and happened a lot. It was all so different 50 years ago in war. It was not at all like today.
Did you ever meet any VIPs in the course of your job?
Oh, yes. I did. And I remember my friend Barbara escorting General de Gaulle. And he was lovely. We did a lot of escorting, though I think often we were just showing them the way, really, VIPs, and because we knew from everywhere to everywhere, really, because we were on the road all the time. So I think sometimes we were probably just showing them away.
So were you what they call outriders on motorbikes escorting a motorcade?
I don't really know what an outrider is, but we were dispatch riders, mostly just one dispatch rider going somewhere. But I suppose, I think sometimes we were showing them the way somewhere because we were doing it all the time, so we knew the way from anywhere to anywhere, really. But I'm sorry, I can't help much because I don't really know what an outrider is.
Well, I suppose an outrider is just somebody on a motorbike riding alongside a car.
Well, we used to... I don't remember riding alongside. I mean, why? We were either ahead, going, showing them the way, or I just remember being on my own always.
Why do you say de Gaulle was so nice?
Well, he was lovely. My friend Barbara escorted him, I think really just as sort of courtesy escorting, because he was important. He was the Free French. But she took him or escorted him on somewhere. And then when she had to leave him, she got off her bike and stood and snooted. And he stopped his car and he got out and came across to her and said, "Thank you for bringing me here. If I had some violets, I would give them to you. But as I haven't, I will give you this money. And will you please buy yourself some violets?" And so she was terribly pleased, of course, but she didn't buy violets with the money.
How much did he give her?
I simply can't remember. I'm sorry, but all this is 50 years ago and more, and I wouldn't know all the details.
Any other VIPs that you encountered yourself?
Definitely yes, but you know, I can't suddenly remember. Are there any names in my book?
I think I can only recollect de Gaulle. You didn't come across Churchill himself or Montgomery.
Montgomery, yes, because he used to come down to Southwark House, I think. And didn't he have a caravan?
Yes.
And so they used to meet sometimes in the caravan, I think. And of course, Southwark House was very handy for everywhere, but only just over the hill from Fort Southwark, and pretty country, really, and a lot of trees there. So the trees, of course, gave good shelter to what was going on.
Did you ever think that Britain would lose the war?
Well, I can't remember, but I mean, at the beginning, I mean, we must all surely have realised we were really up against it. And I mean, there was all that Home Guard, rather a joke. But I mean, we were ready for it, and we used to think that they were coming. because it seemed like it really, that they'd been through all the other countries, hadn't they?
So you thought the Germans might get across?
Oh, I think we did.
Did you see anything of the Battle of Britain in the skies above southern England?
Oh, yes, because I think the Air Force were marvellous the way they... I mean, many of them died, of course, but the fact that they kept the Germans away, and they won the battles in the skies, I mean, they were marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
Did you ever listen to Churchill's speeches?
Oh, yes. Definitely. But don't ask me just what he said or anything. Look up the books.
Did you have much... Did they have much effect on you? On your morale?
Well... I was young and we... Well, it was all so awful that I don't really remember it, and I'm glad I don't.
Did you ever listen to Lord Haw Haw?
Yes, certainly we did, but I don't remember. I couldn't say what he said or anything.
Where were you when VE Day occurred, when the German capitulation came?
Well, there was... I think we were just so thankful it was over. And the jubilation. And I think some people couldn't believe that it really, we had won. Because, I mean, it looked so much as though we were not going to win.
Were you at Fort Southwick when VE Day occurred?
VE Day. No, I don't think so. I think it, we all thought it was over, and everybody had been through so much, and I think we were just thankful it was over, and it was, and we could hardly believe that it was, but it was great.